The theme of our concert this year is Divine Radiance. Now, I know that we don't use the term divine radiance in our everyday conversation, but like Sharon, our friend who works in retail selling shoes, the one with the red jacket, as she has said, we all want to shine in some way. Young girls like this one in the front row with the red pants. You know what I'm talking to you? No? I always have a tough time getting people's attention. Hi, yeah, you. Maybe like you. They're more open about wanting to shine. And they, what's your name? No. We can talk later, so she just turned around. So young girls or boys walk along a log as though it were a tightrope, and they'll say, look at me, some of the time. The other day, our 10-year-old son, Joey, and I went to Boundary Bay Beach, and he ended up catching a crab. Joey was very excited. In fact, he went so far as to say, Dad, any chance you could work this into a sermon? So there's a crab, and I worked it in, Joey, again. Let him know. He was here yesterday. When I was in high school, it was important for me to become the starting quarterback of the football team. And then in another season of my student life, I really wanted to be elected student body president. Now, I know here in Canada, that's not a big deal. But where I was studying in the States, being student body president was a big deal. And in this stage of my life, I wanted to shine as the quarterback and then as the student body president. Back then, I was thankful when those roles opened up. But now, years later, as I look back from this vantage point, those things don't matter to me at all. Some people want to shine through their outward appearance. Others want to shine by having lots of money or the nice things that money can buy. Some people want to glow on their social media platforms. What about you? How do you want to shine? I'm a Christian minister, and I want to do my work well. When I write something, I hope that it's well received. But I also know there will come a day when these things will no longer matter to me. And this truth came home to me a few years ago as my father was sick and dying. And when it became clear that Dad's days were numbered, I began to think more about the meaning of his life. Dad grew up in the country of Japan when it was terribly poor because of its loss in the war. My dad, as a boy, loved to read, but his family could not afford to buy books, so Dad would go to the local bookstore, be looking at books on the shelf, and the kind bookstore owner would say, go ahead, take the book, and pay for it when you can. Dad studied hard as a young person, and he eventually became a student at an Ivy League school in the United States at a time when very few people from Japan were studying abroad. He would go on to become a broadcaster for the BBC. And while our family was living in England, our dad once had tea with the Queen at Buckingham Palace. When we moved to Canada, Dad became a broadcaster for the CBC, and his radio programs were highly rated and well received. But as my dad was dying, what mattered to me most was not the kind of stuff you can put on a resume, but who he was, his character, his immense kindness, his integrity, his quiet but very real love for God and his family. Now, my dad wasn't perfect. He worked too much. In that sense, he was a product of the country of his birth and his generation. But I am immensely thankful for who my dad was and how he influenced me. When I was a teenager, I was shoplifting. I was engaged in small-time drug dealing. I was joyriding. I was temporarily borrowing cars from the local car repair shop and driving them around before I was old enough to legally drive. Never thought to put gas in the car afterwards either. But my dad, who was this very conservative Asian man, grew concerned about me. And one day he took me on a field trip to the local prison. Afterwards, he simply said, "I just wanted you to see your future home. You're going to get free room and board, courtesy of my tax dollars." Well, that didn't scare me straight. And my dad, who had just become a follower of Jesus, took me to a place where I heard about the one that we have been singing tonight, about the light, about the Christ. And this Christ illuminated my path. And so my life took a different direction. And I am truly grateful for the way the light shone through my dad, not so much through his outward achievements, but through who he was, and for the way he directed me to the source of light. What we do is very, very important, but who we are is even more important. And no matter what your age, your background, your outward physical appearance, you can become a person of divine radiance. You can become a person who is truly luminous, incandescent, and who bears the beautiful light of God. How is this possible? It's possible because 2,000 years ago, that very first Christmas, the light of the world, the invisible mystery, the God of the universe shrank himself down, way down, 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 to the size of a single fertilized egg, barely visible to the naked human eye, implanted himself in the womb of a teenage girl named Mary, and was born as one of us, as a baby, in a borrowed barn in Bethlehem, and given the name Jesus, which means Savior. Jesus grew up, and after having lived a perfect life in his early 30s, voluntarily died on a Roman cross, mysteriously absorbing our sins and our shame into himself so that our sins and shame could be washed away, so that the light of God could shine with us and through us without shadow, so that we could live with divine radiance. And unlike outward physical beauty, which does fade with age, when the light of God shines through you, you become more and more beautiful with the passing of the years. And then one day when you are set to cross the river and step over to the other side, to the other world, as was true of my dad, you can face that crossing with happiness, peace, and a glow about you. Desmond Tutu, the Anglican Archbishop of South Africa, said that we are a light bulb. And all we need is to be screwed in. We are the light bulb, and we just need to be screwed in to the source. And if this afternoon you would like to receive the light of God, I offer as a gift a prayer of Mother Teresa, who shone with God's light and so became more beautiful as she grew older. And so I'll pray the prayer. And if it expresses your heart, I will pray it once more, a little more slowly, phrase by phrase. And you can pray it to the God who is here. And so if you want, you can close your eyes, whatever posture makes you feel most aware of the beautiful mystery that surrounds you and loves you. Here's the prayer of Mother Teresa. Dear Jesus, flood my soul with your light. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only your light. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine is to be a light to others. And so if these words express the desire of your heart and you want to make them a prayer to the God who loves you, to the God who came for you that first Christmas, you can pray them in your spirit quietly. Dear Jesus, flood my soul with your light. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me. And be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only your light. Stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine as to be a light to others. So to shine as to be a light to others. Amen.